Here in North Yorkshire, we do possess one of the most sophisticated sleep labs in the country. It's at the University of York, where Lisa Henderson and her team of cognitive neuroscientists have discovered that sleep plays a critical role in the development of our vocabulary when we're younger. The reason I know this is because Lisa will be telling the public more about it tomorrow in one of a series of short talks showcasing some of the fascinating research projects going on currently at the university. Lisa and her colleagues have been able to show how sleep patterns in young children help them take on board the information they're learning.
That's right. So we know that over a decade of research tells us now that for adults, sleep plays an important role in strengthening memories. So for instance, in the case of a new word, you learn a new word, you go to sleep, and your memory for that word increases in strength when you wake up the next morning. And sleep also works to integrate new information into existing networks in the brain. And we know that there are particular sleep parameters that are important for supporting that process. So deep sleep, slow oscillations are important. And in childhood, we sleep more. And also in childhood, you see greater amounts of that really deep sleep. And we think that this works to support the abundance of information that children have to learn earlier in life.
So in computer terms then, you've got a RAM memory and then you archive stuff. So your RAM memory is so that you can work with things on an ongoing basis. And then if you want to keep something, you archive it into a sort of deeper memory, as it were. And is that what sleep's doing for us then? It's transferring
right.
It from one memory to another memory.
That's right, that's what the current thinking is. So we have two major systems in our brains. We have a short-term store in our hippocampus, and that deals with new information that's coming in. And we have a long-term memory store in our neocortex. And what sleep does is take information that's been stored in a sparse form in our short-term store in the hippocampus, and it transfers it to a longer-term, more stable state. And this is important that we have this dual system, because you can imagine if we're constantly taking in new information and it's going straight into our long-term store, there's a chance that new information might be overwriting what's already there. But this short-term segregation of information means that new information doesn't overwrite existing knowledge.
It is just like computers then. I mean, how much has the computer world helped you with studying the human brain?
Well, that's a very good question. A lot. So the way we think about how the brain works, the way we think about how language is stored, how memories are stored, very, very much mirrors how a computer works. So information is stored in kind of networks. That's what the current thinking is. And computer models have been very useful for understanding how the brain works as well. So, our understanding of computers has definitely advanced our understanding of the brain substantially.
And I'm fascinated to hear and learn that we have one of the most sophisticated sleep labs anywhere in the country. So what constitutes a sophisticated sleep lab? More than a bed, I fancy.
So we have bedrooms, and we use what's called EEG, or electroencephalography. So this involves just placing electrodes on the scalp and letting people sleep. And yes, we do pay our students to sleep.
I went on the wrong course, clearly.
So we run nap studies and overnight studies. And this allows us to monitor online brain activity that's occurring during sleep. And then we can relate what happens in the night to how much people can remember the next day. And then make inferences between the role that sleep's playing in learning.
Presumably, I don't know, a lot of this will go towards helping our understanding of other things, like dementia, maybe.
Exactly. So, in fact, that's a very interesting question, and one that's been currently investigated. So people with dementia tend to have very disrupted sleep patterns, and if we can regulate sleep patterns and extend periods of slow-wave sleep in these individuals, that has practical consequences for the development of their dementia. So it's certainly an important area of research.
So what you're saying is the yuppies had it wrong completely. Sleep isn't for wimps. It's pretty vital stuff.
It is. And a point for those of us who have teenagers as well out there. So a recent study showed that teenagers are far better off going to bed at their usual time rather than cramming the night before an exam. which obviously has practical importance.
Yeah, well, try telling them that. And that's a whole other study of research, I think, really, understanding the teenager. Lisa, it's fascinating stuff. I wish you well with that, and I'm sure we'll talk to you again, because I think we've only scratched the surface, really. But thanks for joining us.
Thank you. Thank you very much.
And York Talks 2016 at the university is tomorrow. It goes on from 8:45 in the morning to 5:15. Other topics include dissent and the making of democracy in the age of revolution. Every building tells a story. The bespoke composer and taking on the tobacco giants. And it's all, I mean, if the research going on is as interesting as that sleep, we've got a mine of information going on there that, yeah, it's well worth tapping into, I think. The talks are free, but you do need to register on the university's website. Just type in York Talks 2016 into your search engine. You should be able to find it there.